Are NBA dynasties dead forever? Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Pearl, I know you're fired up about this. We're in the Final Four for the NBA. Western Conference Finals kicks off tonight. It's Minnesota, it's OKC, and then we'll get the Knicks and the Pacers tomorrow. So we are guaranteed to get a new champion because the Celtics got bounced. It'll be the, what, the seventh year in a row we're getting a new champion? Mm-hmm. And you think this is bad for the NBA?
Yes. I miss the dynasties. I have to admit it. I love parity in the NFL, but for some reason, I feel a little bit, since I don't have a team in the Final Four, I feel a little bit less of a charge for the finals than I would if you got to see the same teams over and over again. Like, I'm thinking of Golden State versus Cleveland. I really want some teams to get back there and keep getting back there. It's been crazy how badly the champions have basically been going out in the first or second round every year. So I don't think you're getting to build at that highest level, the championship level, getting to build a history. And I think the NBA needs that kind of, because I'm thinking the glory days of Michael Jordan. I'm thinking of definitely Steph versus LeBron.
Sure.
LeBron even versus Shaq, Kobe.
Yeah.
Like, you need a little bit, you need some continuity. I don't think, and it just seems like to me, and we might disagree, it feels like you're going to have a different champion every year ad infinitum forever.
Yeah, but you know, you always rail against the Spurs, who were a dynasty. You call them boring. You said
they were a bit boring, yes.
Okay, well, that was a dynasty, and it would fit the definition.
They didn't usually do it back-to-back years, though.
They were a factor. They were deep into the playoffs every year, and they were winning championships. Whether you want to, you know,
did they ever go back to back?
But whether you want to split hairs about whether it's a dynasty or if it's, what was it, 3 and 5? What would have been every other? It doesn't matter to me, right? Like, here's the situation. Just because we don't have literally the Celtics trying to defend their title doesn't mean we don't have the same faces over and over again that aren't bringing, you know, interesting matchups to the league. The second year in a row, we're going to get Knicks Pacers in a high profile series. So
this is the most unlikely conference finals in the hit. I mean, nobody saw Knicks Pacers coming. This is like, you can't say like, oh, we got continuity. This is a shocking conference finals. Everyone thought it was going to be Celtics Cavs.
Okay, that's fine, but you did have the Pacers in the Eastern Conference Finals last year. They played the Knicks last year.
Right, in the second round, right, but they're not, they certainly have, we've never seen them at the finals. Like, they haven't been in the mix for a championship in forever.
Minnesota is back right where they were a year ago, back in the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, I mean, shocking. But they weren't good this year. They'd be the lowest seed to win a title ever.
Okay, so here's what I think is going on and why you're getting this and why you're getting one seeds that are getting bounced early on.
Yeah.
It's something that people complain about all the time with the NBA. They don't take the regular season seriously. Mm. By the way, you still have OKC, who's the number one seed, by the way, who is about to play in the Western Conference Finals tonight. So let's not say all number one seeds completely crap the bed. They didn't. But you have degrees of caring during the regular season. Mm-hmm. And the regular season, it turns out, doesn't actually mean anything. The Knicks couldn't beat anybody in the regular season as far as the Celtics and things like that. And then it turns out they took them out. And they built that 2-0 lead before Jason Tatum got hurt. So it's just like, you can't tell anymore, I don't think. You can't tell as much from the regular season of how things are going to go in the postseason. And so that creates maybe a more interesting postseason. But to me, this isn't a bad thing. Yeah,
but you show you like the parody.
I think rivalries are what matter, not so much dynasties. Mm-hmm. Like, people are going to be tuned into this Knicks-Pacers series, even if you're not a Knicks or Pacer fan, because there's a history, first of all, but now we have back-to-back Tyrese Haliburton versus Jalen Brunson. Like, that is good. That people like that.
Right, but I think the finals are even more important than the conference finals. I think you need to have, for the casual fan, you need to see the same faces again and again. You want to see a defending champion. I mean, this year, it could be, I think it's exciting to have a new team. Say it's a Knicks Thunder. But if you had the Celtics defending their title against the Thunder, I feel like that just raises the level of intensity up on this. So, and I don't think it's load management. I think it's the way they set up the new apron system. It makes it, you can't have a super team. We all hated super teams, but now we miss super teams because of all the different rules. You can't bring all the stars together. Yep. So you're getting a lot of parity, which makes sense.
I think it backfired on the NBA, to be honest.
That's why I think you're missing the great teams. That's what I'm kind of getting at. You might want to loosen up those so you can get get a Miami Heat again.
Well, like the idea that, you know, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown may not be able to stay together.
Right.
Because they're both getting paid so much. Now, listen, that is also at the discretion of the owner. You know, you can pay. It's just you're going to have a lot more parameters and kind of handcuffs around you. But no one's saying you can't do it.
You know, the other thing, too, people look at OKC, 68-14, all-time biggest margin of victory for any NBA team. You would think, okay, well, that's a potential dynasty. But look at the West. There are so many up-and-comers, which is a good thing and a bad thing. I think OKC could be great, and then they could be knocked out in the second round next year because there's going to be so many great teams, which you would think would be good. But as a fan, I kind of miss the regularity of Jordan and just... And maybe that's my fault.
As I say, Jordan hasn't played in a final since 1998, so you've really been pining for this for quite a while.
Well, I loved the Warriors-Cavs thing. That was, I just felt like when the Warriors were in the finals with those great teams, like you had to watch it. You couldn't miss it. I think a lot of casual fans might not be as invested in all new teams every year.
Listen, it's going to be a natural thing when LeBron and Steph retire.
Yeah, there's going to be a bit of a void. Well, that's the question. Would you rather, if you look at the NBA, would you rather have it continue like this, where there's a new champion every year? Or I'll give you a hypothetical. What if Wemby became the dominant player in the league and the Spurs went to four straight finals? Would that be amazing?
Yeah, sure. I think you can have it both ways, quite frankly.
Because you can't.
Well, I just think that there are still good rivalries, even if there may be a new champion every year. Because I feel like I'm seeing the same faces over and over again. I'm seeing the same teams make the playoffs over and over again.
You are going to get... There are four teams in the Final Four right now. There are two titles between all four teams. The Knicks in the 70s.
Yeah.
This is as new as you get.
Okay, but this could also be a... I'm not willing to say this is not a bit of an outlier of this particular... Like, because now you're going to have these teams that are come back again and back again. So they're going to...
Why? Who? I think his...
Minnesota keeps coming back. OKC makes the playoffs every year. The Knicks keep making the playoffs. And the Pacers keep making the playoffs. All these teams are here.
Yeah, I don't think... But I don't think any of them are going to last. I think you're going to have a whole new Final Four next year and a whole new Final Four the year after that, especially in the West.
Didn't have a new Final Four this year from last year. You have Minnesota and Indiana are both back.
Okay. But I do think, but you admit, seven champions in 7 years.
Well, I think the question I have for you, Pearl, is it champions or is it people in the finals? Because I think it's a little bit of a mixed bag, right? Because Jordan played almost a different person every year, right? Until the end when he faced the Jazz. And then...
You had Jordan, though.
Right.
You had the Bulls.
But that was the champion. So you want, like, a team to win every year.
Yeah, I want a dynasty.
Right. But that's a little different, I think, than, like, maybe railing on the Final Four, because...
It's disappointing. Like, if you have a new Final Four, you're going to have a new champion every year. I mean, I just think we need one dominant team, at least.
Okay, but here's the other thing. There's not a dominant player right now. So you want Michael Jordan, who was far and away the best player in the league at the time. Mm-hmm. We don't have that guy right now.
Can you give me a Shaq Kobe?
Who is it?
I don't know.
Giannis? Then you should be praying that Giannis goes to San Antonio, because that would create that type of potential that you're thinking about.
If I'm in and I know the owners wouldn't go for this. If I'm in the league office, I might say, hey, maybe we relax these rules a little bit to allow for more super teams. You know, it's hard. Now everybody's got sort of a half a super team where you get two stars. Yeah, I'm not saying I have a solution. I don't know. I just think it'd be good if there was a super dynasty. I do think the league is structurally set up for this, though. Like, they did set up the salary cap so you would alternate champions all the time.
Don't you think they see the same data that you're looking at, which is, you know, having a dynasty or having one dominant team that everyone's kind of going after and trying to claw and bring down would actually help? So if they're seeing more data than we're seeing, right, that why would they want to intentionally harm their league?
Well, because they're 30 owners, and I think they all have different priorities. And I think, you know, I think if you're the owner of the Cavs, for example, you're not going to be like, well, let's build a super team down in Miami. They're not going to be for that. So everybody's looking
out. Hit home, but I think
everybody's looking for their individual success. They're not thinking about the overall league. I think that's a natural way owners get together.
Yeah, I think they're also trying to figure out what life's going to be like after LeBron. I'm not saying that's why they put the aprons and stuff in, but they do have to figure out as a league maybe who they want to push to the front. Because even if Wemby is like this alien basketball player, I feel like I'm not, you know, he got injured, obviously, so that hurt. I see him on a lot of national games, I guess. It doesn't feel like he's got the machine behind him as much as he did before his draft.
He's a little young.
Like, where are they showcase? Was he available for the All-Star game? No, he was hurt, right?
Yeah, they played. He was on Christmas in Madison Square Garden, had 40.
I know, I the only problem with Christmas, though, is the NBA, the NFL came in and ate its lunch.
Well, I'm saying Wemby is hypothetical. I feel like Wemby's the best shot. Maybe Anthony Edwards? So you're saying it's really, we need a big superstar to fill the LeBron void. I'm saying that we need a great team to up the ante for the finals. Like, the seven champions in 7 years is not working for me. And it's not, maybe it's just the way it happens. Maybe it's nobody's fault. I don't know if the NBA designed it this way. The NBA, you really think, again, we argue about how much actual influence the NBA has on the action. You think that this is all sort of manufactured by them with a lottery, et cetera.
So could have given Cooper Flagg to the Utah Jazz, and they didn't. Speaking of which, do we have that Shaq sound?
We do.
Yeah. We can get to that in a minute. But anyway, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476.
What again, Chuck?
Do you think that the NBA has been hurt because they have a new champion, seven new champions in 7 years? It's also just been the time for a lot of guys, right? Like Jokic winning MVPs, it was his time. He won a title. Giannis winning MVPs, his time winning a title. Celtics, who have been making the conference finals since 2016-2017 season, and made the finals in the 2021-22 season. Yeah. They finally broke through. It kind of feels like the era of people just realizing their destiny.
But it's also, I'll take a more negative view. It's also who's going to say, it's such a who's going to say healthy league. I heard it called the warranty league the other day. Like, how's your warranty doing on your players? Like, Celtics got hurt. The Nuggets got hurt. Mm-hmm. Like, because
this load management turns out may not be doing a whole hell of a lot.
Yeah, last year, the Knicks, by the way, last year, the only reason the Pacers were in the conference finals last year is because the Knicks got hurt. It does feel like, for some reason, injuries seem to be playing more of a part. I mean, honestly, I blame the Knicks.
Steph Curry got hurt.
Steph Curry got hurt this year. And I blame the Knicks because they only go six deep, but... Would you stop doing that, Manny?
Yeah, I just did the last one.
I think it's also the injuries are playing a huge role. Why did Boston go away? Some people, I think the Knicks might have beaten them anyway, but other people are saying, you know, everybody was hurt to some extent.
Let's get to the Shaq thing, because I love a draft conspiracy. It was over when Cooper Flagg went to the Mavericks with a 1.8% chance.
I didn't even know you could talk.
Shaq telling a story on the Ashley Neville podcast of meeting then-Commissioner David Stern ahead of the draft lottery the year he came out of LSU.
I meet Mr. Stern in March, and he says to me, hey, know who you are. Can't wait for you to come to the NBA. Then he pulls me to the side. You want to play where it's cold or where it's hot? He asked me that. Yeah, he did. He asked me that, and I was like, hot. And he smiled, and I smiled.
Okay. The music is not helping this, by the way. The sinister music. Shaq reveals he was stunned to see the Magic at the number one pick.
A couple of days later, they had the draft thing and, you know, the top three things. And then Minnesota was number three. I was like, and then Charlotte was number two. And then Orlando, Florida was number one. I was like, I didn't think anything about it. But, you know, you hear a lot of these conspiracy theories.
I'm sorry. I can't get past the music now. It feels like this is the same music that they use when they're like, so why did the husband take out $1 million life insurance policy 2 days before his wife disappeared?
Dateline.
Yeah, exactly.
That's weird, though, because Shaq is from, you know, I know he moved around San Antonio, went to college at LSU. I would have thought he'd be all about the cold weather city. And then, of course he wasn't going to a warm weather city. You think David Stern was actually sussing out where he wanted to go? Shaq's going to say, I want to go to Minnesota?
I think David Stern must have been joking about this, but finally
Shaq... Yeah, he was saying lightheartedly.
Shaq saying the Mavericks getting the number one pick fuels these types of conspiracy theories.
Now, there's a lot of situations that could make these things sound good and sound true. Like, okay, Dallas gets rid of one of the best players, but we're getting a new one. Ding, 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 ding. So I don't want to use the word conspiracy theory, but it's very interesting how it all played out.
And what happened to Mary?
Sorry about that, America.
Never seen again.
This feels like the fakest story I've ever heard.
Hello, please.
I don't even think this happened.
Chris Paul trying to beat me up.
First of all, David Stern is way too savvy. David Stern is a real G.
Definitely.
He moves in silence, you know? You think... like someone who comes up with the idea for a frozen envelope, You think he's out here just asking Shaq, where do you want to go? He wouldn't be that sloppy.
David Stern's not also, he's also not putting the future of the NBA in a 20-year-old's hands. That doesn't make any sense.
No.
Who cares where Shaq wants to go? David Stern would send him where he'd want him to go.
Exactly. You don't tell David Stern. David Stern tells you. That's how.
Play him if you want to.
That's how crazy.
So I love it. You guys are so convinced that it's always a conspiracy on the lottery. But yeah. This one, now that Shaq's on board, you guys are out?
No, it's actually just more of a deference to David Stern.
Come on, man.
I just think that he's the ultimate draft lottery rigger.
I call myself open-minded, by the way. I'm not going to say I'm a conspiracy theorist.
Just asking a question.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
David Stern, may he rest in peace, by the way. I just think that he was, how do I put this, would stop at nothing to make sure that the league grew in a way that he saw fit.
Well.
And sometimes that means one thing and it means another time. And I think it's whatever the league needed at any time, whether it's, having to get involved with trades, whether it's rigging draft lotteries, whether it's expanding the league to China, whatever it was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Having the players run out in the crowd in Indiana and fight the fans. He had total control.
You saw the iron fist he came down with after that happened?
Yeah. No one controls Ron Artest.
Anyway.
Dress code and bunch of crazy.
You think he's Thanos? David Stern.
Kind of.
Just a man, guys.
Powerful one. I wouldn't cross him.
They said Drago was just a man, and then Apollo Creed, sadly.
EJ, you were gone. We still had, not during the show, after the show, more aftermath of the argument about whether the Dallas Mavericks getting the number one pick was fixed. I brought up an interesting point that actually I heard from Nick Wright. How about the Mavs almost won that play-in game? They might have not even had a lottery pick. So explain, this was all set up months in advance, but Dallas almost snuck in the playoffs and screwed up the entire thing? Is that what happened?
Let's go back to the free throw discrepancy in that game. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know.
Well, also, Anthony Davis, they tried to keep Anthony Davis out, and he kept insisting to play. They wanted to tank. He insisted on playing.
Mm-hmm.
Perloff turns into Marge Simpson. He's like, 888-710-4ISN. Yes, you want to make another point?
I just think the simplest explanation is the ping pong balls go up in the air and a guy pulls one and it's just turned out to be Dallas.
Mm-hmm. To quote you. All right, coming up next, we do have to get into the first comments of Bill Belichick really clarifying what the hell is going on at North Carolina. And a funny story as well. We'll get to that next, M&P.
Mm-hmm. Welcome back, Maggie Perloff Show. So Bill Belichick, everyone was saying, has lost it over the last month. Turns out he's a genius. Art of Winning debuts at number 5 on the New York Times bestseller list. All press is good press. I actually don't want to read this book. I find him to be a total grump, and I'm sure his book reads as dry as dust. But
whoa!
But anyway, you could view this this whole mess as a great PR stunt.
Yeah, we were just talking last segment about how we thought David Stern really was this puppeteer master of the NBA. I don't think Belichick's that savvy. I think he's probably a little more savvy than people give him credit for, but not this much.
But it does work out pretty good. I think he's coming to this whole book project very, very torn because he wants to publicize it. He's doing a lot of interviews, but he wants to look good, and he's very uncomfortable publicizing it. Who knows? There's obviously, as we're going to get to, there's so much to unpack with Bill Belichick right now.
Unpack. So he's on the Pivot podcast, and this is really the first time that he's kind of been pressed, I would say, about what Jordan Hudson does for North Carolina. We've had a lot of reporting, Pablo Torre and others, about her role. But Ryan Clark really asked the question. So first, it's Belichick explaining Hudson's role, his 24-year-old girlfriend, obviously, in his professional life.
Her actual job responsibilities.
Well, nothing with North Carolina. That would be number one. It would be personal opportunities. Could be a speaking thing. It could be appearance on this or talk about that, or somebody wants whatever it happens to be, an autographs or that type of thing. And so, you know, she would kind of help organize that for me.
Okay, so that's like a glorified secretary or something like that.
Or like a marketing rep who usually take 10 to 15%. He's getting a good bargain there.
Who knows? Maybe she's on the payroll.
Oh, actually, you're right. She might be.
She's the COO of Belichick Productions, whatever that means. So.
That job sounded very much like a marketing representative, right? That's what they do.
She's been talking about that. But the thing is about these requests that were coming in for him, some of them were internal. Like when he got hired at North Carolina, people wanted him for speaking engagements in North Carolina. So that's why Bill Belichick said that he asked that she be copied on emails.
And one of the first things that came out was when North Carolina sent me emails saying, like, these people want to talk to you, these people want to talk to you, these people want to talk to you, these people want to talk to you. I sent back an email, can you please copy Jordan on these requests? Right. So, that, you know, she could at least like filter through them because there was nobody. We didn't have a sports information guy.
Right. So sports information director, an SID, shorthand PR people who work for colleges. Like when Perloff and I, when we want to request somebody, we go through the SID when it comes to college. So he's saying that North Carolina has no football SID. When I tell
that's
you
wild.
How far that stretches beyond like believability. So I actually reached out to North Carolina yesterday. I'm still waiting to hear back because there is someone on their website who is responsible for football.
For communications with the football team, right?
But wait,
yes.
But isn't there an overall SID?
No, they get split up into sports. Yeah, yes,
they
there can be.
Oh, they can be, but they can get split up a lot now.
But they can right. be split up between sports. So go on North Carolina's website. There's basketball, there's football, mm-hmm. and then there's every other sport. If women's lacrosse has an SID, yeah. then I imagine the football team has someone who's fielding requests. So that one was kind of weird. I reached out to North Carolina and haven't heard back yet. Now, that could have been true. Maybe they've hired somebody since. I have no idea. Their website mm-hmm. says it's the same guy who does basketball, does football as well. So here's more from Belichick. Said the narrative that Jordan Hudson is running football PR for UNC is false.
That was taken because all emails are shared and publicly, that was taken as Jordan's running the sports information department.
Yes.
And gotcha. That also led to the narrative, which is like totally, she's not doing it. I mean, there was nobody that helped me sort them out. So I was asking her to do
right.
it.
So this is the extended comments. I think we really split hairs here if you want to say she's not involved in UNC. I think that they're trying to like, be exact, like, what do you say, technical about it. But if she's working for him this closely, she's filtering requests that are coming from inside the university and outside the university. She's working alongside the university with this much, like, synergy, if you will. She's not an employee, but she's basically right there helping him make decisions, and he's the highest paid employee at the school.
Yeah, I mean, I could buy the role. It's like an agent, though. If Bill Belichick said, CC, my agent, maybe in college that wouldn't be. I mean, I could see it at least. Like, I could, but that's actually a really good explanation by Bill Belichick. I'm kind of blown away.
So this is the first time he's ever really fleshed it out.
And I have no reason, and you have not gotten confirmation back from school. I have no reason to believe he's lying about the SID situation in North Carolina. Now it kind of all makes sense.
To me, it's weird that North Carolina football wouldn't have an SID.
Maybe they're
you're telling me Mac Brown never got a request to go to a speaking engagement somewhere?
Maybe
one ever wanted him on our show?
Maybe they push everyone out with the last regime. Because they have all new people, right?
No, I emailed the same person who said says football falls under their purview. Same guy as basketball. He's been there for 40 years.
So he's the overall SID.
Yeah, but usually they get the highest profile sports.
Right. So, but yeah, I mean, I don't think Belichick's lying. Like, he wouldn't just make that up.
It's just what's a weird SID? Thing to say. All right, let's get to the milk story. Oh, his Hard Knocks thing didn't make sense either, but we'll save that to the side. Let's get to the milk story.
He needs some milk.
So here's Belichick telling a funny story about his time with the Patriots when Antonio Brown, Pearl, came to the Pats.
Yep.
Remember those glorious 11 days?
Is that all it was?
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Guy wears out his welcome pretty fast. What can we say? So Tom Brady really took Antonio Brown under his wing, had him living in his home. And so Antonio Brown wanted to do something nice for Tom Brady, and this is what he did.
Antonio ordered milk. He ordered this special milk for Brady. It cost $5,000. $5,000. And to make a long story short, it kind of got mixed up, and it ended up in the mail room for too long. And by the time the milk went bad.
Oh, yucky.
All right, let's put to the side for a second the biggest obvious question here. What type of milk would cost $5,000? Yeah. But let's let Belichick finish the story. Then what happened?
And so here we are sitting here with milk and like, all right, well, what will cost $5,000? Oh, my God. So we go out and get $5,000 worth of milk, this special milk, and give it to Brady from Antonio, even though it had all, you know, and so now we like turn into like an expense report, like $5,000 worth of milk. I mean,
yeah, that one might get flagged. Here's more from Bill.
But you know what? Sometimes you just gotta
do it for the
right thing. And I don't want to ruin the relationship between Brown and Brady on this spoiled milk.
So it's not $5,000 worth of milk. That'd be like a tractor trailer's worth of milk. That's not what Antonio Brown ordered for Tom, Pearl. It's a specific type of milk that is $5,000 that Brady likes to drink.
Like one carton equals $5,000?
$5,000 worth of that milk.
Right. $5,000 worth of that milk.
Rich people suck.
So can I tell you with a little internet research where this milk may have come from? But does anyone want any guesses?
Almond milk.
Like I'm guessing like an emu or some kind of like weird animal.
Switzerland?
Wait, are we going animal or are we going country?
You're going cow. It's funny. I went animal. You went country.
A lot of cows in Switzerland.
Yeah, exactly. I was there.
A lot of cheese.
Yeah, but I feel like you could get a deal. I mean, I don't know with tariffs how much this milk is costing, but this is pre-tariffs.
It's pre-tariffs. Okay, so it looks like the most expensive milk in the world comes from a donkey. Donkey milk is the costliest on earth, according to Yahoo. Prices can vary, but to give an idea, one company sells in the U.S., they charge $170 for 40 grams. So that's 14 ounces. Powdered donkey milk is $8,000 for 20 kilos, just over 44 pounds. That's a lot. But anyway, 3 ounces will cost you $60. The high cost is due to the difficulty of acquiring the milk.
Donkey?
So you think Brady was drinking donkey milk?
I think he's drinking donkey milk.
Or it's possible Belichick just screwed up this story in some bizarre way. We have no idea what actually happened.
Very specific.
Yeah, but I mean, he didn't even know that Brady was deflating football. So I don't know if he understood. Belichick also is probably more focused on what the defensive scheme was. Like, what's this thing about milk?
Also, Antonio Brown knowing Brady's diet.
Why does this place stink?
I don't know. Antonio Brown doesn't seem like a guy who's tight with the details.
No, but he was sleeping at his house. He was staying at his home.
Oh, I thought he did this right before he got traded.
No. This was he was staying at Brady's house.
I thought this was after he got traded. I thought he was. Oh. It was such a short time. I assumed this was all like in the lead up to.
No,
like,
I think
when he
it happened.
Or they signed. Whatever happened.
No, it happened in those 11 days.
Why did Antonio send it to the facility?
Apparently, it is attractive from a nutritional perspective. It's lower in fat and calories than other milks. Has higher vitamin D and is vitamins, minerals, proteins. It's been labeled a pharma food. Shown in studies to have immunity boosting and inflammation reducing properties, other potential benefits.
Pharma milk, there it goes again.
So it's a legit shot that Antonio Brown got there, sent this milk, sent it to the wrong place. Belichick then bought new milk, sent it to Brady, and Brown might have been gone already.
Yeah, then he said that thing about Robert Kraft and the massage parlor, and his butt was gone.
Oof. Right, weren't there some allegations too, why they cut him? I thought there was other stuff around why. I don't think it was just a Kraft thing.
There might have been more.
But Brady may have gotten this milk and Brown may have already been out of the league. That's a reality. That's likely.
No, they paid the $5,000.
It's only 11 days. How quickly, like if it got spoiled,
yeah.
It was there
it
for
ended
days.
It up in the mail room at the Patriots facility. What a dummy. Why didn't he just send it to Brady's house?
Why didn't he just send it to Brady's house? This guy, Antonio.
Brady's probably like, where is this milk coming from? I'm so confused.
So how many, I'm so sorry, I forget about all of this. What year was Antonio Brown? In 2019 he was in New England?
I think that's right, yeah.
And then, I thought he lived with him in Tampa. I did not know he lived with him in New England.
In New England, too.
But he did live with him in Tampa, for sure, right? Yeah. So, okay, so Belichick had nothing, obviously, to do with Tampa. I don't remember this. Were they any good together in New England for
they
that
won
one
a game? In
he played
Miami.
One game. He had five catches. I think he scored at least one, maybe two touchdowns.
Yeah, no, it would have worked. Antonio Brown's a good player.
And they
he's
cut him?
A wild card.
Yeah, something crazy happened during that week. I know he's talking about the crafting, but I think there was like a sexual assault allegation, I believe. And they just like, we can't do this. And they just got rid of him in a week.
Yeah. Meanwhile, apparently they've been drinking donkey milk for 100 years.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm sure they have, yeah.
Where? Accused of sexual misconduct by a former trainer. That was Antonio Brown. But yeah, they've been drinking donkey milk for 100 years.
Where have they been?
You can get it on Amazon right now if you want.
Earth.
$85 right? For this canister of donkey milk.
There's by the way, other things going on with donkeys that when we were in college, there was a trip, a bunch of my friends went down Tijuana.
Oh, good grief. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
When you said donkey milk, I was like, wait, what are we talking about here?
That is still one of the most unbelievable things that this exists.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge, it's a long tradition. That's a big deal.
I just can't imagine who.
Donkey shows? That's a huge thing.
I just can't imagine who in the hell would ever want to watch something like that.
I have no idea.
Ernst Goldfarb, whatever your buddy's name is. What did you say last week?
That's been a thing forever.
Keith Hernandez wrote about it in his biography. Yeah, no, I don't understand it.
I don't know if it's still a thing, but apparently now there's more uses for a donkey.
Jesus. Anyway.
I'm just going to stick to Shrek, by the way.
I know. Anyway, I didn't know that people were drinking donkey milk. Never knew it, but it's imagine the weird stuff Tom Brady's eating and drinking.
I feel Brady would avoid all lactose, so he'd be more like almond milk or some kind of crap like that.
Apparently he does. That's why I was confused by this, too, because I saw Caleb Williams, who we're going to talk to Seth in 20 minutes. He's apparently adopting the Tom Brady diet, I saw.
Nice plug.
And dove climbing, which, you know, we'll see if that's all, you know, accurate. But he listed all the things Tom Brady doesn't eat. And the number one thing was lactose milk.
Yeah, yeah. No, if you
I don't know. Yeah, I was surprised that he even had any kind of milk. I assume he just cut it all out.
Yeah, if you talk to a nutritionist, the first thing they tell you to get rid of is milk. Right.
I thought bread, but yeah, that's probably the
idea. Yeah, yeah, because humans are not meant to, my daughter lectured me, are not meant to drink other animals' milk.
Oh, yeah, it's like a whole, I mean, that was you want to talk about conspiracies, the milk in America conspiracies.
I love that you guys, like, this is the first thing you should cut out.
Yeah,
like,
I had actually.
How about the booze and the.
No.
There are five things.
Sugar.
Sugar, a booze, campaign to get milk sold here.
Yeah. Bugs, we keep cutting you up there, dude.
Sorry, dude.
With random stuff.
I just think Brady, we talk about the avocado ice cream and not eating like a tomato or a strawberry or something, and we're really just not addressing the donkey in the room.
What's that?
He's drinking the donkey milk. It's so weird.
So dubious that it's actually donkey milk. I think there's something else out there that's got to be better.
Even more expensive?
Yeah.
This is all I'm seeing.
Maybe there's a rare nut in somewhere in Asia.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. Because also, why wouldn't Bill Belichick mention that it's donkey milk?
Like, why does that sound so
remember,
wrong?
I would remember that more than it cost $5. $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't care about how much it costs. I said, this guy drinks donkey milk. And Antonio Brown found it somehow and sent it to our facility. I'm like, this is gross. We have spoiled donkey milk in our mail room. Who cares about $5,000?
First of all, you guys are totally falling for this. This is clearly, he's creating this bizarre story to distract us from the fact that Jordan Hudson's calling plays at North Carolina. Bottom line.
You know what? Hook, line, and sinker, man. How could I be so gullible? I totally fell for this. Folks, hang with us, will you? Coming up, as EJ said, top of the hour, Seth Wickersham is going to join us. He's got a new book out. It's coming out soon. And he's got all the details from Caleb Williams' father, on how they did try to pull a power play and get Caleb to a different team besides the Chicago Bears. He also has in-depth reporting about Arch Manning's recruitment to Texas. So we got all types of stuff to address with Seth Wickersham. Don't move.
Shut up, EJ.
Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Robust conversation about the cost of donkey milk. It's going up these days. We believe that Antonio Brown may have bought some for Tom Brady because Bill Belichick told the story about Antonio Brown buying Tom $5,000 milk, not $5,000 worth of milk, a very expensive milk. And we looked it up, and it turns out donkey milk is the most expensive on planet Earth. So I'm glad we're getting to the bottom of these really important topics.
You have no idea if that's actually what happened, and I'm sure Bill only has half the story. And I, whatever really happened between Antonio Brown, of all people, you think Bill knew?
Well, we can get, I mean, Brady's in front of a microphone all the time. The next time he does a podcast WWE / internet star, just ask about the donkey.
Maggie, you got to do some Pablo Torre type of journalistic investigation now.
I mean, I've reached out to North Carolina to see if they actually have a football SID.
Oh, yeah, steps. Baby steps.
We'll see if they
They do technically. I looked while you were talking about it.
I know. And that's why I said Bill Belichick said on the Pivot podcast, Ryan Clark, I laid out the whole thing.
Bill Belichick only knows certain things and is kind of grasping at straws for that. That's probably why Jordan Hudson's running the show. He's like, what's
going
on?
But he's saying
there?
She's not running the show.
Yeah.
She had to step in. I'm like, you're making $10 million. North Carolina football program just made the biggest hire in their history, and you don't have an SID. Just, I don't know. Seems a little off.
One of my favorite topics about Jordan Hudson is whether it helps with the recruits or not to have a 24-year-old girlfriend. Somebody, I think Ian, told us that, you know, listen, Bill Belichick's getting way older than these players. Mm. It might help to have a girlfriend who's their age. You can explain what they're talking about. Does he, because obviously a player is not going to be turned off by you having a 24-year-old girlfriend. An 18-year-old guy has no judgment on anything like this. So does he actually use this in the recruiting process? Like, kind of subtly, hey, did you see my girlfriend?
Oh my gosh.
I don't know. I mean, that's recruiting creepy. It's an all-out warfare. I mean, you say you can.
My girlfriend came in third in the Miss Maine competition.
This era of NIL.
I think on one hand, he shows the parents pictures of his grandkids, and on the other, he's like, hey, guy, come over here. Look at this.
Yeah, not a grandkid.
Man, that's weird.
It is weird.
I mean, it wouldn't work for me. I can't speak to other young people.
Sounds like EJ's not committing to UNC. Oh.
Old guy, like, say, come here. Look at my phone.
I don't know.
Hey, come here. Come look at what
I was exaggerating, but listen, Bobby Petrino's an amazing recruiter. That guy's a dog.
He's got a bunch of bags behind him. He's got a bag man dropping off, you know, $100,000 in front of your house.
I don't think any 18-year-old's ever been like, this coach is morally upstanding. I want to go play there. That is not how it works. I think it's Belichick's best attribute. He should walk into the quarterback's room with Jordan Hudson on his arm.
I thought you were saying the biggest question you have is whether this is good for her Miss Maine candidacy. And obviously we found out that's not good because she's going backwards.
No, that was your obsession, Meg, if you recall.
Mokish is here with headlines. What do you got?
NFL owners meeting begin today in Minneapolis. The Packers have made slight changes to their proposal to ban the tush push, but that vote, as well as the one on changing how playoff teams are seeded, not expected until tomorrow, and we still don't have a good feel on whether either one of them will pass. All that being said, owners should vote today on allowing players to play flag football in the 2028 LA Olympics. That is expected to pass, maybe easily. Then the league would begin negotiating with the Players Association and the various Olympic groups.
I can't wait. Hate this if a player on my team goes to do this. Goes to play flag football, which has no tradition, history in the Olympics whatsoever. It's not swimming. It's not track and field. It's not gymnastics. Not even basketball, which actually does have a long tradition.
You don't think watching Tyreek Hill just run past some 5'8" Japanese accountant is going to be hysterical?
I mean, what are we trying to prove to the world? Like, we got football.
Better.
No kidding. But they took baseball and softball out of the Olympics because it just didn't stick. And so I don't think this is going to stick. It's dumb. We may not even need Tyreek Hill to win a medal. We could have the people who are actually playing flag football now.
I think the Eagles should, I'm already thinking about it, should send Jahan Dotson. They don't need him.
It's not an expansion draft.
You explain the rule. It's one player per team.
Don't take shots at
it. If I'm reading this correctly, it would be one player per nation per team.
So you could have multiple players from different countries.
Right, but only one can play for America. Right. One can play, if one player is Canadian, he can play for Canada.
So you only get one. I mean, most players are American.
You could have Jordan Mailata and your Jahan Dotson.
Right. But most teams are going to be able to send one player. I mean,
Hold on. Let me read this to you again.
All right.
A limit of one player per NFL team on each national team participating.
Okay, but how many?
How do you understand that sentence?
Right, kind of what we were describing before.
And that's how I still read it.
Yeah, so maybe the Eagles could have Mailata on one team and Jahan Dotson on another. But I don't think Mailata's going to play flag football. He's a tackle.
I was going to say, do you do offensive linemen?
Yeah. You got to block.
That's true.
1-1,000.
Oh, is that like 7-on-7 where everyone goes out?
No, there's a pass rush. That's
flag football?
Okay. Yeah, that's why that guy, remember we were talking about that like greatest flag football player ever? Yeah, all the clips of him are like running around like he's Michael Vick because he's a pass rush.
Ah, okay. I know like nothing about flag football, turns out.
Who in the right mind wants their quarterback playing in this?
Quarterback, probably you'd be okay, right?
You're like steady QB.
You don't technically have to do that much running unless you're that crazy guy. But it's more the receivers to me and the DBs. They will get hurt. Like, that's scary to me. Like, Garrett Wilson did this, I'd lose my mind.
This is what I'm saying. Nobody wants this. Sen Lazard.
Is he still on the Jets?
It's not Siberia, man.
That's going to be the game. You're going to send a player who's exciting enough to draw interest, but not important enough. You can't risk losing him.
All right, so we got Alan Lazard, wide receiver one, Jahan Dotson, wide receiver two. Who's
that's
tight end?
You're interested in that?
Sure. Imagine Alan Lazard will probably average 500 yards a game playing flag football against, you know, Greece.
I think this could be a thing. Like, you're going to pick your one player. That is going to be fascinating. Who do you want? Throw a Bills player out there.
No.
Why?
I'm trying to win a freaking Super Bowl here. No.
I want to watch Josh Allen sling the ball against some British dude.
Allen is within 100 miles of this thing, there's going to be a revolt in Buffalo.
He's definitely going to be there. Not as a player, but he's going to be around the event.
He would definitely do it.
It's training camp. No? Yeah, are the Olympics not happening in August anymore?
Yeah, training camp. Training camp, training camp. Who cares about that?
Oh, you guys got KJ Hamler on the roster.
How many ex-Penn State players are on this team?
Hamler will get, he'll get hurt watching flag football on TV.
And then what's going to happen with Jahan?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Were they on the same team?
Yeah.
Basically recreate the 2018 Nittany Lions and send them overseas.
I have a plan for you, Maggie. Just re-sign Von Miller and just send him over to the Olympics.
I don't want any part of re-signing Von
Miller.
What's
Allen Robinson doing nowadays?
That's a great question.
This could be like a good Chase Claypool spot.
God, did I love that guy. A ninth round of a draft pick for Allen Robinson.
I'm sorry. We can only send Penn State people, my bad.
These games, by the way, the end of July. So they would be theoretically pre-training camp.
Olympics?
No, 2028.
Right, the next one.
Yeah, my bad.
Okay. I'm in.
Yeah, I'm in too.
Yeah, why not?
No, I still feel bad for people who actually are on the USA flag football team now. We're finally going to get their chance. Instead, they're going to get trumped by all of these actual pros.
They're sticking up for the little guys.
Yeah, there's a pre-existing team that competes all year round. And then you're just like, never mind, guys. Thanks for everything.
You could go with recently retired guys too, by the way. Wouldn't that kind of work? They would probably win it.
T.O. was like, he was racing Tyreek Hill the other day. He looked good. He lost, but he looked good.
Ryan Fitzpatrick, QB1.
Oh, he'd be amazing.
This is not the Ice Cube Basketball League.
It does feel like the 3-on-3 tournament.
I was thinking that. Tino Mobley's
not
available?
Big three.
Oh, the Olympics 3-on-3. We had Jimmer Fredette and a bunch of nobodies.
Who is the NFL's Sharif Abdul-Rahim?
Full question. No.
By the way, how about USA Basketball recently announcing Jimmer's retirement from international competition? Yeah. Did you see that?
I did.
No thanks. We're good.
Yeah, well, we didn't even medal in the 3-on-3. Yeah, kick rocks, dude.
I don't think they won a game in the 3-on-3.
Yeah, it was terrible.
America.
I'm telling you guys, this is a bad idea.
It's a terrible idea.
And you want to send all your NFL players there. Meanwhile, you're roasting Jimmer Fredette for showing up.
We didn't say we're sending the best players. We said Jahan Dotson, for God's sake.
You want to send whoever the Sharif Abdul-Rahim is of the NFL. It's too valuable.
Well, I think that's Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
Not bad. Whatever. Not bad. All right, coming up, Seth Wickersham has the details on what went down between Caleb Williams and the Chicago Bears. Have that next.